This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Julian, and together with Lynn Mark as well as Sharis Abdullah. Now coming up in about 15 minutes time after the 8 a.m. news, we have our usual breakfast grill where I will be speaking to Terence Low, CEO and co-founder of the Novena Global Life Care Group. And an entity that's involved in medical centers as well as aesthetics, medical aesthetics, really. Founded in 2010, they provide skin and body care as well as wellness services in a sprawling region across Asia and across the world as well. I will speak to Terence about the medical aesthetic business as well as their growth strategy going forward. So stay tuned for that coming up after the 8 a.m. news. Now, the IMF is forecasting Malaysia's GDP to grow at about 4.7% in 2019, which is the same pace as 2018. They say that Malaysia's medium-term outlook remains favorable, although downside risks remain for what is a highly open economy. And this is due to exposure to oil prices, rising protectionism, as well as the slowdown from China.
Yeah, it also says that Malaysia economy will stabilize in the midterm. Now, though currently recorded at a deflation and an inflation rate of 1% for 2018, the economy will spur growth, reaching inflation level of 2% in 2019. And Malaysia GDP growth is estimated at 4.5 or 4.75%. This is coming from private consumption and also investment, which is supported from increased business confidence. The fund, however, warned that the risk of low investment and economic growth if the government reform efforts are hindered, which will in turn undermine confidence.
So the IMF additionally also tells Malaysia that it should monitor large household debt. So Malaysia's household debt is at 83% compared to our GDP, with 52% made up of house loan debt. Malaysia has one of the highest household debt levels in the region.
Yep. So when we look at household debt, we got to look at what the debt is comprised of. And for many Malaysians, they have a lot of property loan, right? Apart from all the credit card bills, property loans is something that is featuring predominantly in household debt as well. And this is not a bad debt because property normally rises in value over the long term. So that may not be entirely a worrying thing. However, there's also news that the government is considering extending the 35-year housing loan to 40 years to reduce the property overhang. So the government is trying to manage all these extra stocks that are unsold in the property market.
Yeah, and I think an industry sources, they believe that an increase in tenure would help property developers to sell their inventory, though it will not to the benefit of the buyer. Now, the cost of financing is of an amount of amounting to 400,000 ringgit at a financing rate of 4.9 would only lower the repayment very marginally at 68 ringgit compared to a 35-year-old loan. So, however, there's a big difference in total cost of financing, which is for 35 years is 437,000 and for 40 years is about 513,000.
And this is, of course, a report from the Star Biz. So a suggestion was made on dealing with the issue of affordable housing. It would be, of course, structural reform through a single authority, so one which would focus on the establishment of an integrated database of demand and supply to ensure that house prices reflect the market prices and buyers' ability to purchase the house. So previous developments in housing loans include the introduction of real property gains tax, even on Malaysians, which was announced during Budget 2019, affecting Malaysians who are selling off their property in the sixth and subsequent years of ownership. They will now have to pay a 5% RPGT, whereas foreigners and companies will also see an increase in rates from 5 to 10%.
Yeah, I think the RPGT will handle actual houses that have been bought and sold. So not very much involved in the clearing of the inventory, which are all unsold houses, right? Also, I think the government efforts to, if it is true, because this is a source story from the Star, if it is true, the government efforts to just try to clear the inventory is for people who will buy and live in those houses. So it'll be a very long time before they sell those houses, and therefore the RPGT would not come into the picture. But I remember a few years ago, there was this thing called the DIBS, right? DIBS, or developer's interest-bearing scheme. And this will be where the developer or the house builder helps you buy the house by coming up with nothing, right? If a house costs $500,000, you can actually buy a house without coming up with anything because the developer is going to bear the down payment and things like that. And therefore, the question is whether we are dialing back some of those what I call a prudential matters to control household debt by lengthening the 10 years of the loan. I mean, 35 to 40 years, only 5 years in the whole scheme of things, not a long time, and also not much added to your interest payments as well.
Yeah, so as you mentioned about the household debt, just going back into that conversation again about what IMF has reported, so it's about 52%, roughly about slightly over 50% where household debt is allocated for homes. And yes, we do recognize that it is your asset and it will appreciate over time, but I guess that translates to money in hand as well, isn't it? I mean, with all this, despite extending it, and we only extending the duration by 5 years, it's only bringing down the price to 68. So I guess it's really not yet solving the issue of cost of living in that sense.
Meanwhile, the government has also launched the National Home Ownership Campaign to encourage Malaysians to buy their own home and to tackle the residential property overhang. According to figures from the NAPIC, or the National Property Information Centre, residential overhang stood at over 30,000 units in the third quarter of 2018. And 65% of this number are in the unaffordable category, which means houses above 250,000 ringgit. To discuss the state of the property sector and efforts to tackle the affordable housing issue, we have online Alan Su, Deputy Executive Chairman of Surveils Malaysia, a global real estate services provider. Good morning, Alan. Thanks for joining us. So the government said it plans to build about 100,000 units of affordable housing priced at below 300,000 ringgit. In your opinion, how bad is the shortage of affordable homes?
Good morning. I think there's really quite a equilibrium between the number of accommodation in the urban areas compared with the population itself. For example, if we're really trying to tackle the issue of housing, it's mainly in the urban areas and not the rural areas, then the Klang Valley's population at about 7.5 million has roughly 2 million accommodation, which comes down to about 3.8 or 3.9 numbers of households, which really means that we're at equilibrium. So I don't really think there's an actual shortage in itself.
But we're talking about affordable homes here, and usually the conventional belief is that developers don't really want to build houses that are that cheap. So the government has defined an affordable houses to be 250,000 to 300,000. Do you think that there is enough houses in that sector?
Actually, the developers are focusing on that because the high end, as you know, is already impossible. So a lot of the most of the developers are looking at the range of 300,000 to 600,000, where we would call the sweet spot, and so the efforts are there. I think the problem is that there's a mismatch in terms of the affordability itself, and also the cost, because there are compliance costs, there's the land cost as well as the construction cost, and so it's deterring developers in terms of providing sufficient numbers in that.
Alan, the government is also drafting a plan to assist the M40 or the middle 40 to buy their own homes. What form of assistance could the government be offering without creating a kind of a rent-seeking mindset?
Well, actually, on the contrary, I think we should actually have a rental industry, because basically the affordability for those in the B40s sector, where they're supposed to be earning a household income of below 4,000, is roughly as defined by EPF, below 800 ringgit a month. And that, by right, should be directed at rental homes like you find in Europe, because I think this preoccupation with ownership, especially for the early part of a person's household's career, it's a little bit lopsided. We should be encouraging people to rent instead. So if we were to take some of the urban areas where there's actually some old housing, you could convert some of that. It's more really a maintenance issue than, you know, a construction issue. If resources are devoted to that, we actually can solve some of these problems.
Thank you so much for your thoughts. And that was Alan Su of Seville's Malaysia. Now, I really agree with the renting suggestion because I think the old belief about rental is that renters would lose out to buyers of home. And this is not true, whether mathematically or statistically, because the amount of money is that you save from not buying a home, you can actually invest that money at even a higher rate of return than property over the long term. So renting is actually a good option. It's not a bad option, especially for people who in the short term can't afford to buy homes.
Exactly. And it's true that we are, as a society, still quite preoccupied with the notion of buying your own home, owning your own home. It's like, okay, you come out of university, you get a job, you buy a house, and you start a family. That's the traditional trajectory. But realistically, you know, our economy is changing, our property sector is evolving, and rental is quite a viable option nowadays, and we should consider it much more.
Absolutely. Not to be continuing to be a bearer of bad news, but according to MIDF research, the local labour market is expected to remain skewed towards low-skilled jobs. In a report on the Malaysian labour market, MIDF said that in 2018, the labour force saw a year-on-year increase of 2.2% to 15 million employed, but the job market is still dominated by low-skilled jobs.
Yeah, so this low-skilled job we're talking about, as of January 2019, there's about 77.6% of job vacancies for elementary position, 11.8% for machine operators, and only 10.6% for, you know, medium and high-skilled job. So in essence, for every 100 job offered in 2018, only 89 were for low-skilled jobs and 7 for medium-skilled jobs and 4 high-skilled jobs.
So MIDF has said that they expect 2019 to see an increase in job vacancies, particularly for agriculture, the mining and construction sectors, amid a gradual pickup in global commodity prices, as well as increases in government investments. However, they did note that the first half of 2019 will see job vacancies in the manufacturing sector moderate due to global trade uncertainties.
Okay. We're coming up to the 8 a.m. news, and don't forget to catch the Breakfast Grill after the news, where I will be speaking to Terence Low, CEO and co-founder of the Novena Global Life Care Group, which is a group that is involved with aesthetic medical industry. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.